Welcome to another episode of Frankly Speaking with State Representative Frank Ryan of the 101st Legislative District in Lebanon County. I'm Chuck Nichols, Representative Ryan. Welcome to another report to your constituents and the people across the state of Pennsylvania. We are coming to the point where we're starting to look at how we're trying to get out of lockdown here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And before we got on air today, we were talking and saying Pennsylvania is kind of an outlier in how we're doing things. We have some issues with communication. We've got a little bit of back and forth when we're trying to tell people what to do and then things change. We've got issues with making sure that people understand what's going on medically, both elective surgery-wise and health procedure-wise, and also the comorbidities dealing with COVID-19. We've got financial issues, property tax issues, money issues to talk about. Let's dive in here, Frank, and talk about what is going on. Why is there so much confusion? And how do we remedy this? How do we have a better solution?
Chuck, first of all, thank you very much for letting me come on. One of the things that we're seeing in the Commonwealth now is that it really is almost a tale of two cities. If you look at the eastern part of the state, particularly around the city of Philadelphia, the COVID-19 has been ravaging the community. And obviously, we need to do as much as we possibly can for those high-density areas. And it's also been affecting many of our cities in a much higher concentration than it is in some of the more rural areas. So what we're finding is that by the state using a blanket approach to the entire state as it would relate to just one particular area, such as Philadelphia, has created a situation where the entire state's on lockdown when, in fact, that's not prudent. Most of the other states, 40 other states, do not do it the way Pennsylvania is doing. An additional 7 states do it in a modified version of what the other 40 states are doing. Only New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania are doing it quite the way that we're doing. We believe, and our Republican leadership, I think, has done a tremendous job of painting this picture in the way it needs to be painted, is that we have to have the science-based CDC guideline approach using the CISA standards, which is CISA, which is part of the Homeland Security approach to providing this safety and a metrics-based approach. You know, Chuck, we've had a significant number of votes on a whole bunch of different issues about reopening the Pennsylvania economy. Whenever you look at the way the Commonwealth is doing it now, we're only looking at one illness, COVID-19, which is serious. And the people affected by COVID-19 and our frontline medical workers are true heroes. Our essential workers are real heroes in this. And my hat's off to each and every one of them. And that's coming from a Marine who's been in harm's way, as they are now currently in harm's way. But I will tell you that part of what we have to do as part of this support of them and our entire community is recognize that we have to be able to recognize that there are other illnesses that are not being treated. One of the things that we're trying to get the Department of Health to do is to start tracking other illnesses. As an example, elective surgeries are off the table. We're not doing them. Now, they've just been told that they can reopen just recently, and so you're starting to see some healthcare facilities start to engage and do those. But let me tell you the types of procedures that were turned down and were not being done. Breast cancer screening and treatment, cancer treatment. I have a family member who has cancer. All of her appointments were canceled until after this COVID-19. So we're praying to God it didn't metastasize while this was going on, but there's the anxiety there. Seniors who are in senior care facilities, which is where the majority of the COVID-19 deaths have occurred. We have people who are in hospice that we're working diligently to try to get their family members to be with them in their final days, and we're not able to do that. We're seeing significant psychological trauma. I was on the phone today with a group that provides psychological counseling services, and he said the trauma that's affecting so many different people now is starting to be surfacing. My daughter's a nurse practitioner. She's saying to me that the health and mental illness effects of what's taking place during this crisis are not being monitored properly. And so we have to always recognize that if you only keep score by looking at one illness, it will give you one answer. But we need to look at this from a holistic approach. And that's what I think that Brian Cutler, our majority leader, has done this week. he's helped frame that issue. And we think that with some of the pressure we've put on, the governor has moved up some of the deadlines for opening up parts of the state safely using CDC guidelines. My fear is that the approach has been relatively inconsistent. We're getting conflicting guidelines. Just most recently this week, I advocated that counties should not be looked at as a county in its totality, but by zip code. So as an example, in Lebanon County, we have a significantly higher density of cases in the 17046 area. What does that mean? That means that we should provide greater medical care, treatment, and mitigation in those areas while we're all maintaining our social distancing. And that if we fail to do that, we could have the entire county on lockdown for an additional 2 to 3 weeks, thereby making it that much more difficult than we will ever recover.
And in addition to the medical issues that we're obviously facing with all these, there's financial issues, the fallout that people are dealing with. A lot of folks have gone for a significant period of time without a paycheck. There's property tax issues coming up. There's the schools are trying to figure out budgets. The state is trying to figure out its budget. Where do we go from here?
You know, as you're aware, Chuck, I'm a CPA, and I specialize in keeping organizations out of bankruptcy. And my heart goes out to everybody in this mess right now. We're seeing state revenues are going to be down 20 to 30%. We think that there's going to be a significant amount of negative impact on the budget. We're trying to do whatever we can to mitigate that as much as we possibly can in so many different areas. But this is one where there's going to have to be some type of a shared sacrifice. You know, I have been talking with a lot of the superintendents and school board members, and they're between a proverbial rock and a hard place. At the same time, the property owner who's paying the property tax, or the person who's renting, whose income was cut in half, but they're paying property taxes through the rent, they've been adversely affected as well. So what happens is that no one can easily navigate these issues. This is where we all have to take a real serious, hard look and decide how we are we going to deal with this. There was a school district that just contacted me from another county, and they said that they tried to get the contract reopened so they could renegotiate some things, and that was denied. So then they just furloughed a significant number of teachers. And that's I worry about that. I worry about it because this is one of those cases where it's difficult. When I told people when we were hearing some issues about clamoring about the fact that there's a possible property tax freeze, we have a situation where no one wants to do that, but there's a reality of the fact that the financial implications of this thing are severe. And from my years of doing financial turnarounds, I will tell you this, the longer people wait to deal in reality, the worse the solutions will be. I've had people who, my most favorite case, a guy called me up and he said, Frank, I think I need your help to keep me out of bankruptcy. I said, well, tell me what's going on. He said, well, I can't make payroll tomorrow. I said, yeah, okay, yeah, you do have a problem. But I suspect he probably knew that a year and a half ago, that he was running into financial trouble and didn't do anything about it. And so what we had to do was severe. We were able to save the company, but it was severe in so many different ways that doesn't need to happen. And so if you look back over the past couple of years, we could have been adding to the rainy day funds significantly what we did, but we used the good times, I think, inappropriately. And I said so when I voted against the budgets, with the exception of one budget. And now we're paying the price of it. Now we don't have the rainy day funds. We have less than $350 million in the rainy day fund, which will cover us for about 12 hours. So some very difficult budget decisions can be made, have to be made. Now, that being said, I believe if we make them, we're still in much better shape than most of the financially strapped states. We're much better shape than Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Kentucky. Much better shape. And California. So I think if we get realistic and we do it, we can get through this relatively unscathed with some shared sacrifice on the behalf of a lot of us.
Representative Ryan, keep telling us what's going on. Stay up on top of this so that we can have a good voice that is telling us when it's actually happening. Representative Ryan, thank you for being part of this, Frankly Speaking, with State Representative Frank Ryan.